like to explain this image and explain the spirituality of love to the priest. I'd like to teach you a simple prayer for after Holy Communion, though, to remember to, first of all, at some point do a consecration of oneself to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, after the model of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. If you've done that consecration, a beautiful way to remind oneself of this consecration is to pray 7 times after you receive Holy Communion this short prayer. I'm sealed forever in the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm sealed forever in the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm sealed forever in the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm sealed forever in the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm sealed forever in the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm sealed forever in the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm sealed forever in the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus.
More simply, I am bound to this sacred heart.
I am bound to his 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 sacred heart.
In that simple way, you linger for what you have received, communion with our Lord, intimate union within his Most Sacred Heart, and remind himself of it. So I encourage that little prayer. Another thing, I have a few of these, and I don't have it in Spanish. I'd like to get this translated, so this is a simple passage. But to put a little bumper sticker, this is just put, imagine if people prayed when they got in their cars, so that you commit yourself to praying and remind other people to simply even begin to pray when you drive. Regarding this image, it's a special image that was completed only last year in Pittsburgh for the Mothers for Priests. Some of the things are self-explanatory, but you have to come up and take a closer look. We have, first of all, the burst of light coming from God the Father, the glorious cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Blessed Mother at the foot of the cross, summoning all to prayer. We have the imagery of baptism for the water, the flow of water like the Lord, and the image of the Lamb of God, our Lord Himself, the glorious Lamb. This is the spotless, unblemished Lamb. When this was being painted, one suggested, maybe it should have a wound, like the Lamb who was slain. But especially, this is at the moment of the spotless, unblemished Lamb that is the pure offering to God. We hear that in the Eucharistic prayer. So if you're calling the Holy Eucharist, Jesus as the unblemished Lamb. Yeah. Okay. So, the women here, it's all either mothers or children, and they're praying, standing or kneeling, they're praying to our Blessed Mother. They're praying the rosary. Most of them have a little rosary, sometimes you can't see it, the rosary there, and various postures of prayer. And like you notice, well, the women of different ages, different places, different times, but all mothers, some of different wealth. Like this mother here has this elegant blouse that she's wearing that is clearly someone of means, of wealth, but even the simple mothers too, all, young and old, rich and poor, pray, uniting their maternal hearts with our Blessed Mother. Also, because they're in the presence of the Lamb, all the mothers and the daughters, all are veiled. It's an encouragement towards that beautiful traditional practice that out of reverence for our Lord and Most Blessed Sacrament, that ladies would cover their heads, a practice that predominated in the church since the time of the apostles until about 1970. So we could do well to remember this timeless practice of the veiling of for before the Lord the Blessed Sacrament, the intensification of their prayer in that means. Then we have the priests who are at the Vows of Prayer, and we hope that all priests would be like that, simply in the first line, close to our Blessed Mother, kneeling in devout prayer. We have the quiet prayer of some priests, with the Franciscan with his hands out, because this is religious orders and priests, of all that are priests that are included, even a cardinal here, who is on the front lines, relieved that he can be there before our Blessed Mother, and a Byzantine priest, who, like the Byzantine custom, is actually kneeling before our Lord. So we have that image that intensivates everyone, all priests, that are being prayed for by these mothers. Yet there in the second line, it gets a little bit disordered. It's not so lined up, and some are distracted. Some are still in prayer, but only standing instead of kneeling. By the third line, it's those priests who are in danger. If you remember from the book of Revelation, a third of the stars fall from the sky, and about a third of the priests shown here are in particular danger of their souls because of this dark abyss. There are some purposeful contrasts in the painting. The upright tree of the cross, and on this side, these upward pine trees pointing the way up toward heaven. The Holy Spirit, not forget, the Holy Spirit guiding all of this. But in contrast to the upright tree of the cross, there is this ugly, gnarled, dead tree along the edge of the abyss. And there is this priest here, who is seduced by this dark shape, confused in error and sin, vice, and tempted to be lured off the edge of the abyss of power. It's that dramatic. There's this priest here, you can't quite see in this replica of it, but a priest who's already fallen, and a priest anyone hardly see, who's come close to notice, the priest who's barely hanging on the edge, almost forgotten, and there are priests like that. Priests that the people neglect, the brother priests neglect, the bishops neglect, and they're really, really struggling. This priest, though, in particular, is farthest out, just mercifully, at least there's another little bit of a ledge that he's there. But look all the contrast to him. There's a little boy. The little boy we have here. And we have this little boy reaching out to our Blessed Mother. And the tragedy of it is that these priests started out devout, like this young, newly ordained priest, unbearded, just this un-innocent-looking priest, devout in prayer, started out like this little boy who would reach out to our Blessed Mother. But because of sin and compromise, he has become, in contrast, reaching out to this dark shape. Though there's hope, these rays of light bursting forth, this light of grace in response to prayer that pierce through the image, that go through the bulk of the praying priest, the heart of the priest who's concerned, highlighting the rosary that he's holding out to his friend. Going behind the back of this priest who is just so callous and doesn't seem to care. Touching his heel. There's hope for him. That grace can touch and pull back even those who are most in danger on the edge. Then this ray of light that comes through the heart of the devout Byzantine and the penitent cardinal, and the devout mind of the praying Franciscan, coming through the Jesuit here who is praying, and it highlights the breviary, the prayer book, the liturgy of the hours. When a bishop summons a priest in to his office because a priest is in trouble, he has fallen into sin or scandal, and the priest says he wants to leave and give up. Often what the priest will be asked by his bishop is, when did you stop praying the breviary? Because if he was faithful to prayer, he wouldn't be in such trouble. And that's why the light
features the reapery, which is sadly being callously neglected by this Monsignor here. This is a controversial figure. It's actually even a bishop who shrugs his shoulders. Himself in danger, near the edge of the abyss, but he doesn't really know what to do about these priests, the good ones or the bad ones, the priests that are fallen, the priests who are faithful. Another ray of light comes through the rosary of this mother holding out her hand to the priest, summoning them deeper into prayer. It goes to the heart of this mother, devoutly cradling, both holding her rosary and her little child. Goes to the heart of this little figure here, somehow even around the center. He's one of the only figures here who is actually a cameo appearance of someone real. My little nephew, Emmerich, had a chromosomal disorder, and he, despite the state-of-the-art treatment that they were given in Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh, he died when he was 2 years old. And he had this shirt that had a moose on it, and it was his favorite shirt. So he gets a cameo appearance there, and that's it, even the prayer of the child, the innocent little child. I was able to baptize, but I gave him confirmation because he was dying, and first Holy Communion on his deathbed. And so the prayer, the light goes to the devout Dominican here. Dominicans may like this, we're trying to reach out to different religious orders, and we don't put any Dominicans by the edge. So we're hoping that Dominicans will find this favorable. It's only devout Dominicans, so they're good. But through the mind of this devout Franciscan, who's gazing upon his own crucifix and the shadow of the cross that goes across the image and lands there. And it highlights both his bravery and the purple doesn't appear to come out in the material closely, but it's a confessional stole. Because if the priests are praying the rosary, reading their bravery, and going to confession, they're going to be alright. And it's highlighted, and it's really for all of us, for our prayers, the rosary, frequent and regular confession. And the priest here is close to the edge himself. One brother priest said it because he probably isn't hearing confessions very well, but it also is his concern for this priest who's teetering on the edge, allured by this fascination of the abomination of this fire of hell, and out of balance. And he's calling out to him, "Let me hear your confession. I can give you absolution." Brother priest can do that for him. So that light is pointing there. The light is pointing him to this innocent little child who reaches out to our Blessed Mother, down to this young priest here. And the light also goes to the young little girl who is taught by her mother, as a good mother would teach her daughter to be devout in prayer, going directly to her heart there. For the mothers, for priests, the apostolate that goes with this, there are four stations that go with this. As for you, these things, don't forget, before we go over to get a little meal, we have a replica image of this in a postcard size, with along with that a daily prayer of mothers for priests. This is in a particular way for mothers. Don't mean to be exclusive, but they're just like the Knights of Columbus has only men. A widow's club has only widows, not married women. The Mother for Priests specifically targets mothers. All biological mothers, adoptive mothers, any woman who has had a child in her womb, even if not brought to birth. But there is a special power of maternal compassion, a special union with our Blessed Mother that's possible. And that's what this prayer prays. It has the petition, "Unite our maternal hearts with yours." And it's a little longer than that, but it's a beautiful prayer, especially to be united with our Blessed Mother. And that's what's called the first station in this apostolate. It's a train analogy, not like the stations of the cross, the reminiscent. You get on at the first station. We want to get as many mothers on board as we can across the country and around the world. And we have contacts around the world that are beginning.
getting all these mothers, Catholic mothers, to go in prayer. Praying this is the simplest first step, is praying this daily prayer. The next station, for whether you're ready to go on to the next station, is to pray the daily prayer, as well as the litany of humility, praying that for priests. It's pride that leads them to this, and a pride that keeps them from getting the help they need. And the daily sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary, especially to be united with Our Lady of Sorrows and praying for priests. And the First Friday Stations of the Cross. Often the stations are prayed in community. That's beautiful. But you have some beautiful stations here. You just can stop for even a few seconds at each station and go from one to another and pray. Think of the Passion. You could use a prayer book. St. Alphonsus of Liguori is probably the best in his stations, but even a simple thought for each station. It can take just several minutes even just to take the scenic route out of church and walk through the stations and look to Christ and His Passion. The third station is especially important and particularly challenging. You see this abyss. There's no railing, there's no wall, there's nothing that keeps the priest from falling if they wander over there. So the third station, we need 168 mothers, all different time zones to be helpful, because we need as many for as many hours in the week to do holy hours, spiritually building a wall continuously, no gaps, along the edge of this abyss to hold back any that are special. So that's a special particular thing at a specific time, coordinated and faithful to that. The Friday Stations of the Cross, there's some fast and abstinence from meats and desserts that are all included in this at the third station. The fourth station is the Ultimate Horizon. It's represented on the prayer card by these mothers that are lying prostrate in prayer. It is for those in exceptional circumstances, with the help of a spiritual director, who would be called to a daily 20-decade rosary, more fasting and prayer, an hour daily before the Blessed Sacrament, daily reception of the Holy Eucharist, if at all possible, liturgy of the hours, and ultimately it's aiming at abnegation of the will, full docility to the Holy Spirit. At the fourth station, prayer for priests becomes all-consuming. So it's not only a little pious practice, it has the way open, the track is there towards a depth of intense prayer and great sanctity, because our Blessed Mother looks upon these priests as her cherished sons. We're united with Jesus in Holy Communion and in baptism. The priest is especially configured to Christ, and the closer we are in union with Jesus Christ Himself, the more we are called to resemble Him, and our Blessed Mother looks upon them with special love and care as cherished sons.
Amen.
So, we share with you also, this is for everybody, a little prayer card of our Blessed Mother that has a simple prayer, so pleasing to our Blessed Mother, who is our patroness, to pray, through Mary, the Immaculate Conception, patroness of the United States, I pray for whatever your special intentions are. You can list them, or your family prayers. You can, my sister will do this after my family did growing up. We would have a whole list of God bless Dad, God bless Mom, God bless all the siblings. I have 10 brothers and 4 sisters, so we had a long list. But each one got their God bless, going all the way through. And but you can place that all within the context of praying to Mary, the Immaculate Conception, patroness of the United States. We need our patroness more than ever in these dark times. And so let's call upon her for all of our intentions. The Immaculate Conception is so powerful as a patroness. St. James says that the just man, the prayer of the just man, has a great power before God. It can close up the sky or cause it to rain. It can have this immense power. But that's just the just man. We're talking about the Immaculate Conception that is far holier than all the just men. And So we have, when we pray through her, we're uniting our weak prayers, our sinful hearts, our weakness to the strength of our Blessed Mother, and the prayer is much more powerful, much more efficacious. So we pray and then pray, Lord, have mercy. Simple as that. So I have these materials for you as well. I'd like to encourage you on another topic as the overflow of things, to consider the Legion of Mary. It is one of the best ways of reaching out for fellow Catholics and to non-Catholics. It involves a weekly meeting, a praying the rosary. It's a business meeting. It's the most efficient way to go about the new evangelization. Anticipated over 90 years ago in Ireland by Frank Duff. The servant of God, Frank Duff, established the Legion for being a powerful weapon of prayer and of evangelization. The St. Vincent de Paul Society, you know the St. Vincent de Paul Society? They reach out to those with spiritual needs. But as Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, in the United States, there is a poverty, not as much a material poverty, but a spiritual poverty, not the good kind where we know we're dependent on God. It's a spiritual poverty because people don't call on God in prayer. They don't have the faith they should. So it remedies that spiritual poverty. It reaches out to people with 2 hours of substantial legionary work each week. In a way, it seemed like a lot, but it's doable, and it's organized for accountability, men and women working in pairs to get things done for the spreading of the faith. It works in various parts. In some parts of the world, it is so prevalent that almost all active Catholics are members of the Legion of Mary. In South Korea, in parts of Africa, in remote villages, it's been founded even very quickly. There's no reason it couldn't work and be restored here. I heard there once was a presidium. It takes new effort, it takes commitment, but I do have at least a copy of the Legion of Mary handbook in Spanish, and to lead with Father Burnaby, and their material. So I do want to tell you about that and encourage you. If you're praying the rosary and you're getting these converts, there's still the harvest is plentiful. We need even the lay faithful under the priests and in coordination with pastors to go out and invite people in. And that's important for everybody. Important for this is for priests, but everyone benefits from holy priests. If the priest is a saint, the people will be holy. The priest is devout, the people will only be lukewarm. The priest is only lukewarm, the people will be godless. The people tend to be, in a whole, I'm sure there are some people here who surpass Father Burnaby in holiness, and that's beautiful. But overall, that the what happens we see throughout the church is the people can only be as holy or within a range, one step behind their priest. So the more that the priest is lifted up in prayer, responding to grace, growing in holiness, that benefits everybody. And so I invite you to take copies of this brochure. We'll have copies available in Spanish. We'll be getting that text to be printed out here. At least you know what we're talking about if you get it in coming weeks. And I encourage you to take copies for yourself and any other mothers you know. For the men here, mothers, you may have wives who are mothers, you have friends, trying to get this out there. The need is real. The persecution of the church is intensifying, and our Lord warned us in the agony in the garden, strike the shepherds and the sheep will be scattered. The devil knows that 2,000 years ago, he knows it today. My little nephew, Benny, was about 5 or 6 years old, I think, at the time, maybe only 4. And he went up to my mother and my sister, who were talking about me having some struggle and difficulties in my parish. And little Benny said, Grandma, I have something to say. Grandma, my mother said, wait, Benny, adults are talking, you have to wait. But, Grandma, I have something to say. Finally, he said, what is it, Benny? Benny says, the devil hates priests, and he wants to destroy them.
Oh, okay. Should we pray for them?
Yes, we should pray for them.
Is Spain yet?
No, they were kind of playing with his toys as if nothing happened. Sometimes you get that. Two children, those special messages, and that was as clear as can be, and it's quite true. But how would a child know that? It's the same child who, when he was 3 years old, told me, "I think I want to be a priest so I can give the body of Christ." So, special little child, and my favorite nephews. At any rate, it's a real battle. The devil needs a priest, he really does. And so, if you want to thwart the devil and protect the church, then pray for your priest. For all of us, but especially for mothers. Do you have any questions or comments?
You just finished that painting?
It was just done by July 16th of last year. For the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, we had a special unveiling of it. The original is in Pittsburgh, and this we've had just recently 12 replicas made. So I have this one specially sent here for this mission over at Clovis and for you. And we're talking to Father Burnaby about where we can leave it in the New Mexico area because I can't fit it on the plane.
Can we get a replica of that?
Well, Dr. Father Burnaby, if I think of like, if he's available to have it at some point in his parishes, we can see about that. We just need reminders, various places.
Because that's a very beautiful picture right there. That's gorgeous.
It was especially made. The artist, when she first started painting it, we met with her at an old restaurant in a diner talking about what was involved, and she had this sketch, and immediately the sketch looked almost exactly like this. Even though the original input was given was like little circles, X, and it was the simplest little card that we had to show, and yet the artist had this artistic and spiritual inspiration to fill out the details, and then scenes almost just come together. Those in the back here are victims of Holocaust and victims of sacrifice.
Can I ask you who actually did that painting?
Renata Rome. I don't know if you know her name, but there's a church in Texas that will be the largest dome of any church in the United States. And she's doing that now.
Okay.
They're in a new tower for a new chapel in the Pontifical North American College. And she was the artist picked to do the artwork for that. So the world-class artist happens to reside in the South Hills of Pittsburgh. When I was working on the painting on this project, I realized I needed a painting to go with it. And I asked a friend, "You happen to know a painter? Do you know anyone that does painting?" And she said, "Oh yeah, I'll call her up, Renata, she's great."
And is there a signature on that?
There's no signature on it. I think it's out of her humility that she just thought that it was so much due to God that she didn't want to even claim credit and a signature. Any other questions?
Yes, one.
Yes.
How can we get a copy of that?
Well, Dr. Father Burnaby, I'm going to be leaving this copy in the area, and this is going to be a question of where it can fit and where it would work. If you would like to be a little something of a center for encouraging this special kind of prayers.
One more question.
Yes.
Okay, Father. Can we get copies of that, and how do we do this?
Well, I sent a copy to Father Burnaby. Like, if you'd like to print out like an 8x10 copy or something.
That'd be fine. Yeah. 8x10, that's great.
He can make that available. I sent it to his email, so you can email him, and I permit him to send you a copy. If you'd like to go more and print it out, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want more than worrying about copyright infringement. The painting, we have full rights to it from this painter, so for whatever it takes to promote.
8x10 would be great.
Yeah.
That would be perfect because that is a beautiful painting.
Okay. Very good. Well, I was going to get a little bit of reception food and talk with you after that, and I'm so glad to be here.
Are you for sale? Or?
Yes.
One on my hand. I didn't forget it, so I had it on my hand. I almost did. These are for a little offering. If more an offering is more available to get more of them. My brother and I bought them at a dollar each because we got like hundreds of them. So the flame of love, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, is a special devotion for our times. I only have so many of these, but I have a few more brochures. I just want to get this out there as well. Elizabeth Pindleman. You want one? Okay.
Do you think I can have one too, sir?
Yes. We'll have enough for a few. Many to share and look it up online. There is a good website with it. Elizabeth Pindleman, real quick, was a 20th century Hungarian woman. She was a wife, a mother, a widow then, and a mystic. She has a whole diary that's like St. Faustina's diary for the special inspirations, locutions, God speaking with her, our Blessed Mother speaking with her. And the special thing that she learned about was how, kind of following up from Fatima, that our Blessed Mother promises that if we pray a special prayer to her, spread the effect of grace by flame of love over all humanity, include that within the Hail Mary and our rosaries, there's special graces for souls in purgatory, and for the whole world, that there would be this eruption of light from the flame of love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Can I ask you what purgatory is? It's in the middle of hell, right?
Yeah, it's for those people who are, like Pope Benedict says, who are not good enough to go directly to heaven, but not bad enough to go directly to hell.
And then we have to pray for them so they can go back up to heaven.
You want to get them all the way to heaven, yes. So we pray for our Blessed Mother, who's Queen of Heaven and Earth in the purgatory. So, Flame of Love is a beautiful devotion, and it's entirely approved by the Church. Cardinal Erdo, the Archbishop of Budapest, Hungary, gave his imprimatur to the original diary, and Archbishop Capu over in Philadelphia gave his imprimatur to this translation. There's a fuller diary, this is just a kind of a best parts version, and it's a beautiful, encouraging devotion. It's for everybody. It can have a special kind of impact for those who are similarly widows who just want to grow in life of prayer, because this woman, Elizabeth Pindleman, went through a whole saga of growth in the life of prayer and was consumed in it. Yes?
Who prints it? Can you get it online?
You can get it online. Flame of Love.org.
Okay.
Right, or myconsecration.org has information on consecration to our Blessed Mother, and this Flame of Love will get printed out of Canada. I think typically you get them for about $2 each, but otherwise it's unknown, and there are apparitions or alleged apparitions that get so much more attention but don't enjoy the full approval of the Church like this one. So I encourage you to take a look, whether you can. The few copies I have, and Clovis, I have a box, but Clovis consumed all they can get, and I saved some of them at least for you. Yeah. Good to go. Okay. Well, you can talk about what I've got out here.
Can I have one?
I'm going to try to see very interesting. I hope you want to look it up, so. Okay.